Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. You know, talking about a last-minute show, I'm still creating it right now because it's just so much information. Of course, you know me, the more that I'm clicking and pasting. Okay, stuff right now. It's kind of funny. All right, let me see if that worked out. Okay, good. All right, just so many things happening. And this is one of those days where I'm you know, looking for one coherent topic. But there really isn't, for example, an election correction report because, yeah, some stuff's happening, and I got some stories on it. But what's really happening is we're waiting for the Arizona audit. And I'm kind of disappointed that the audit's, you know, complete to a large extent, and yet they're going to go back in and recount the ballots yet again. So I'm not sure why doing this. I guess find every possible reason to validate their results, but it doesn't matter. No matter what comes out of the audit, the left is already going to say, you know, it's fraudulent, it's biased, they're paid off, they're not professional, they don't know what they're doing, you know, as if the left does. And this is the funny part about it, is that they're just going to be screaming and yelling, and, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, truth is irrelevant. Power is what counts. And so if you don't care about truth and you do care about power, if you have no conscience, if you're basically a sociopath, you can do anything you want. You can say anything you want. And this is why it's so fascinating listening to, you know, Jen Psaki, for example, you know, who has no conscience, no ability to discern right from wrong, and nothing other than, you know, serving the masters who will, you know, spin and smile and, you know, say anything that that comes to mind. I just had something ping on my computer. I don't want pinging on my computer. I'm busy. I'm doing a show. Anyway, this is a really free-flowing kind of day. And so maybe that was a Facebook thing. That shouldn't be pinging just because, you know, I got lost. I'm happy. Okay, fine. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Facebook, I had some fun today. There was a where'd my post go? Oh, there it is. Okay. So a friend of mine sent me this picture of a boat. And this big boat is going up and down the panhandle, up and down the Florida Gulf Coast with a huge big red sign that says Trump won. So if you're one of my Facebook friends, you can find it. I'll probably share it to the Action Radio group so people can take a look at that too. Again, today is really free-flowing, and so hopefully I won't get pinging noises again. If I do, I'll have to take out Facebook, which I try not to because it's one of the very few ways people can actually communicate, you know, like guests and things during the show. So we'll have a producer soon. That'll all be taken care of. Another thing we're going to have, which will be cool, is a live chat function. And so there is actually a link for live chat here, which I haven't used yet because when I'm doing the show, I don't have time. But I think that we'll bring that in at some point. So that if you don't want to call the show, you can always just kind of, you know, type in a message. And there might be a whole different conversation going on below, you know, and then it'll sort of feed back and forth. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So let me kind of get started here. This is last night when I was looking at different things to talk about, I wondered, you know, if anybody had sort of had come to the same conclusion I have, that the Democrat Party is basically a terrorist organization bent on subverting this country and destroying it. Okay, because you look at anything they're doing, there's nothing they're doing that most people would vote for, you know, from gun control to illegal aliens to bankrupting our treasury to you name it, to all the different laws and regulations and the whole Green New Deal and all this other nonsense of, you know, making your gasoline more expensive, regulating your life, taking away your car, you know, taking away the parking spaces in the cities, you know, regulating everything that you do, putting you in planned communities, you know, just controlling every aspect of your life. I mean, that's not something Americans would vote for, right? But if a terrorist group said, we're going to control this country, we're going to take away, you know, your energy, we're going to take away, you know, your freedom, we're going to, you know, make you live in huge government, you know, huge block, you know, government housing projects, you know, we call that a problem. I mean, a huge problem. They'd be designated a terrorist group, especially if they were violent. You know, and the Democrat Party is violent. I mean, they've hired Antifa and Black Lives Matter to destroy cities controlled by Democrats, which is kind of funny. So it's almost suicidal in a way. But you look at what's going on, and the difference between the Democrat Party and any particular terrorist group, considering they usually sponsor the terrorist groups domestically, like, you know, the KKK and Antifa, Black Lives Matter, et cetera. I don't know who the new ones are, but we'll find out. you know, while demonizing anybody else's group and projecting that those groups are bad and the Democrat groups, you know, are good, even though the Democrat groups are destroying cities. Ironically, it is in Democrat-controlled cities. So I'm not sure what the logic of that is, why they're destroying their own cities, but that's kind of how communism works. You know, you destroy everything, believing that once it's destroyed, this beautiful utopia will rise up. Well, once you have, you know, destroyed everything and you have nothing, nothing is where you spend, you know, the rest of your life, living in nothing. So that's not good. So I was looking at that, and then a post came up about the FBI and abolishing them too. And I thought, well, yeah, that's something we should do. And I've talked about that on the show before. So it would be a great thing to do. You know, and I was trying to decide, you know, should I do a show abolishing the Democrat Party? Should I do a show abolishing the FBI? You know, should I do both? You know, and I was going to offer you the question, which should we abolish first, the Democrat Party or the FBI? And, of course, the answer is both. All right. It's the only question of, you know, what is what? I mean, would Biden be in the White House without the FBI? I would say no. You know, and so that makes them an accessory to a coup, overthrowing a government. And a coup is treason. So if the FBI is a treasonous organization and all those running it are traitors themselves, then should they not be abolished and the people running it be thrown in jail? Well, probably, you know, and so this is why we investigate the election correction. And as we find all these people that have done all these things to overthrow our government, including saying that the Trump, you know, protesters were the ones that's trying to overthrow the government, which of course is a lie. That's a lie to cover up who's really who really did overthrow the government. You know, the deep state, the Republicans, the Democrats, the FBI, and all the folks that were involved in stopping January 6th from happening. Okay, so the folks that stopped January 6th were Democrats, Republicans, Capitol Hill police, DC police, you know, the deep state, the person that killed Ashley Babbitt, who's been identified. So that's kind of cool. I got that story too. And all these folks, you know, were the ones who stopped Congress from doing what they were supposed to do, which was challenge the electors in certain states. And we know those states, Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and who knows who else. But those are the big six right now. And so any three of them would probably correct the election to the proper winner, Trump. This is why it's interesting to see this boat going up into the Gulf Coast in this picture. Trump won. And so you've got millions of people in this country who know that Trump won. You've got millions of dupes who I haven't quite figured it out yet, or they don't care. So it's either ignorance, stupidity, or a willful disregard for the law. And so people that think Biden won, they sort of have to come under one of those categories, you know, ignorance, stupidity, or willful disregard for the law and the Constitution, because and the worst of them would be willful disregard, you know, for the law and the Constitution, because they're the ones who are all in favor of stealing the election and don't care. So it's really interesting. So that was and I still have those stories too. I might get to them as well today. It's going to be an interesting day. And again, this is more of a conversational day. 215-383-3832, especially if you're new to the show. And we have some new listeners. We have some new folks coming in. I mean, I'm back on Facebook, but you know, I'm sort of running out of groups that I really want to post in, because the trolls, the narrow-minded folks, the people that are so locked into their propaganda, it's really a strange thing. So I'll be reaching out to different Facebook groups, probably not so much locally around here. You should, if you know the site I'm talking about, you know, it was an interesting experience. All right, so the things that are going on today. And I think a lot of this stems from what happened with COVID. Remember when we talked for months and months about the fact that once these people get used to executive orders, and if they're not, you know, curbed, thrown out, or the legislatures don't remove, you know, the governors and mayors who are doing this, and if Trump didn't remove, which he didn't remove, you know, Dr. Fascist, one Anthony Fauci, for all the crimes he was committing by basically making suggestions that people thought were orders, then... you know, then you know, really bad would happen where they would continue doing that kind of stuff. And that's exactly what's happening now. So you've got two things that happened recently that we're going to cover today. But I had to focus on one. So I'm focusing on the fact that the government, you know, wants to knock on your door and say, hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to jab you. All right. Which is a play on the old, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. And so those that know that expression, I think Ronald Reagan was the one that made that famous. You know, it says, you know, you got trouble when someone says, hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Because it usually means you can lose your farm, lose your business, lose something, you know, or of course, more lately in the last couple of years, you know, lockdown, have your stuff seized and, you know, be thrown out of your own business, you know, because of some alleged virus that really, in a fascinating way, never increased the overall mortality of this country one bit. You know, they just changed the names. They changed, you know, what they called one thing, you know, and they changed it to COVID. All right. So the same amount of people died last year as died the year before, maybe even less, I think. But what it comes down to is they changed all the information. So think about governors, especially Governor Cuomo. Cuomo and Newsom out in California, probably the and Governor Rich Widmer. You know, so you've got you know, Gavin Newsom. I haven't quite got a nickname for him yet, or Cuomo, but I will. I mean, Rich Widmer fits so well for the governor of Michigan. I have to keep using that. But I'll think of something for the other two. So you've got three dictators in this country that are just basically issuing orders with reckless disregard for the Constitution. That'd be Governor Widmer in Michigan, Governor Newsom in California, and Governor Cuomo in New York. And they got so used to issuing orders without legislative approval, in fact, without legislative pushback, in fact, without media pushback, in fact, without any pushback, they got so used to issuing orders that they think, hey, great. Well, precedent said, I can keep issuing all the orders I want. And so Biden, you know, thinks the same way. It's like, hey, I sold the White House. Yeah, I'm still here. You know, why not issue all kinds of orders? And so, or, you know, whoever's directing him. So the people behind the scenes have a vested interest in vaccinations. And Governor Cuomo in New York, you know, made this claim last night that gun violence is a public health, you know, crisis. And we've heard this before. This goes back to the CDC years and years ago, which talked about the fact that they wanted to study. You know, gun owners and, you know, do psychological profiles. And they were convinced that gun ownership was a mental disease. It was really fascinating. You know, talk about screwing around with stuff, which proved the liberal bias, you know, the incredibly liberal bias of the CDC. All right. And I'm sure the NIH and the FDA are the same way. It's ironic that the liberals used to be against big pharma as a big corporate corrupt entity. You know, so liberals, where are you? The leftists have taken over for the liberals. So, whereas the conservatives and liberals, you know, we used to talk about things in terms of differences. You know, we love the country, but we've got different ways of going about fixing it. The left wants to also, you know, just completely destroy the country. And the liberals are, you know, as cowardly as the conservatives who aren't speaking up. You got the really strong. Then you got the patriots like the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Laura Boebert and Madison Caulfield and some of the other, the newer folks. In Congress who are actually speaking up and don't care because truth is more important than holding the office. They're not there to hold the office, you know, for a career. They're there to speak the truth. And that's what makes them a lot more powerful and a lot more dangerous to the status quo. So back to my story that I'm kind of making up as I go here. It's interesting to see how the many executive orders were gotten away with. And now Cuomo thinks, well, I can just declare guns, you know, a public health crisis. And I'm like, oh, really? Which particular disease do guns carry? You know, is it COVID? You know, do they have germs, bacteria, or viruses all over them? I mean, which public health issue are we talking about? All right. Or are they going back to the old mental health issue that anybody who owns a gun must be deranged, which to me is a deranged, you know, thought process itself, you know, especially since guns are protected by the Second Amendment. And prohibits government from infringing. So I would think that a decent lawyer would already be arguing and filing briefs, you know, saying that the Second Amendment clearly says that the governor of New York can't, you know, regulate honest law-abiding citizens by declaring their righteous implements of freedom as a public health crisis. That's irrational. That's insane to let that kind of thing go. But yet here it is because we've allowed, you know, these other things before. So when all the businesses in the country that didn't resist the lockdowns and actually locked down, you're partially responsible. All the people that didn't resist in some form, didn't speak up, didn't post on social media, you know, you're in this too. And so it's what's our you know, we've got the folks that are trying to destroy the country, and we've got the folks who are letting it happen. And the folks, a huge group, you know, I don't know what percentage is, but it's amazingly high. Okay. So you have to speak up, and you got to start speaking up now. You know, can you get canceled? Yeah, I've been canceled four times on Facebook, unjustly, obviously, you know, because all I was doing was speaking the truth and everything I said is proven right. You know, so who's giving the false information? You know, the people censoring me, obviously, Facebook itself. So let me get some stories here. And again, we've got lots of time. We've got lots of stuff to talk about. And let me see, I just want to see where to start. Probably, you know, I think I'll let me start with this vaccination order by the thief in chief. And let me move this, move that. I'm rearranging here. Don't mind me. It's like I say, it was kind of a rushed morning this morning. All right, let's see that. Actually, let me play something for you, and then I'll be back.
Joe Biden's dark winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country.
Yeah, that pretty much says it all. All right, so find an article on Newsmax, which this one's pretty good. I think it's by their main staff because it doesn't give a particular day. And it's let me see when they wrote this. Come on, guys, give me a date. Ah, here we go. Eric Mack. Yesterday, Tuesday, July 6th. Okay. And so this is on Cuomo. So I'm going to start with Cuomo. Cuomo's destruction of liberty. Then we'll get on to Biden's destruction of liberty. So all in all, it's the destruction of liberty day. And again, the election correction, the not ready for Facebook jab report. I have to use a different word, jab, because you know, obviously Facebook's already keying that word in now too. So I'll think of if you know any good pseudonyms for vaccine, put them on my Facebook page. You know, my friends, because. Or put it on the Action Radio page. You can post, say, you call it this. It's not a key word yet. So maybe I'll use inoculation. No, it's not a good word yet. All right. So Newsmax has a story from yesterday. New York Governor Cuomo declares disaster emergency amid gun violence. Okay. So it would seem to me that, quote, gun violence would be a criminal problem, one would think. One would think that that you know this isn't a disaster or well maybe a disaster, but as long as they don't touch law-abiding you know gun owners, then you know if he wants to declare a crime disaster, that's fine. I understand that. That's not a problem. If you want to go after criminals that are committing violence, criminals that have stolen guns, criminals that are you know doing all kinds of horrible things, hey, no problem. Just don't touch the law-abiding. Okay, so the minute you touch the law-abiding, now you're in that area of being unconstitutional. Now you're a criminal yourself, okay? So as long as Cuomo sticks to dealing with criminals, he's okay. But the minute he touches any law-abiding citizen, you know, he becomes a criminal himself. And so all these people that are issuing these orders and doing all these nasty things, you know, they are in fact criminals. And so Biden is a criminal for so many reasons. You know, I can't list them all right now. All right. So the article says, this is Eric Mack, M-A-C-K, from yesterday from Newsmax, to combat the surge of gun violence. Okay, so that's a misnomer. It's not gun violence. It's criminal violence. Okay? Guns are not violent. Guns fire bullets. Guns, you know, and it has to be done with a person. G. Gordon Liddy, one of my favorite talk show hosts from years ago. I actually met him. In San Francisco. That's kind of a funny story. Gave him my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction, because he's a pilot, too. He was a pilot, amongst other things. I think he jumped out of a plane, too, like 90, you know, into Israel. He's one of my heroes, despite the fact that he was a Watergate criminal. But, nobody's perfect, right? Anyway, so I totally forgot where I was going. Let's get off on this little tangent here. But the whole idea of gun violence, the guns aren't – oh, yeah, Liddy used to give this example. And he would say – he'd have like an anti-gun, anti-freedom person call him up. And he used to say, I'm virile, vigorous, and potent. Yeah, good for you, G. Gordon. All right. So he would say, you know, if I put a gun on the table, is it going to fire? And, of course, the caller would have to say, well, no. Okay. So what if I put a round in the chamber? Is it going to fire by itself? No. What if I cock the hammer back, you know, a round in the chamber or a revolver, just pull the hammer back. There's a round in the cylinder. You know, is it going to fire? Well, no. You know, what has to happen? You know, have, if I drop it, is it going to fire? No. Well, I mean, under extreme circumstances, it might. But, you know, generally they have safeties to prevent that. But even a revolver, you know, has a pretty good trigger pull. So that's not going to go either. So the point was the guns don't fire by themselves. So if guns don't fire by themselves, so there's no such thing as gun violence because guns don't have a conscience. Guns don't have a personality. Guns don't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'll commit a crime because guns don't talk. Okay, guns are, you know, metal and plastic and carbon and, you know, different things like that. And, you know, and guns are functional tools like any other one. They just happen to, you know, fire a bullet at a really fast speed, which is the whole point, you know, whether you're hunting or defending yourself or those kind of things. So there's no such thing as gun violence. There's only criminal violence. So the first line he's already got wrong. All right. Governor Andrew Cuomo, back to the article, has declared a disaster emergency. Well, that's interesting. What is a disaster emergency? Is a disaster not an emergency? Or is it not okay just to declare an emergency by itself? Does it have to be a disaster? It's weird people. Anyway, giving resources and potentially funding to law enforcement. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Aren't these the same folks that wanted to defund the police? So they can't have it both ways, unless they're trying to refund the police in different ways. Okay, so regular policing. So in other words, they're not going to go after criminals. They're going to go after, you know, the gun violence. You know, they're going to go after the guns themselves. All right. So now it makes more sense. So this is really either a gun confiscation scheme or some way to deprive you of your rights and to let criminals, you know, keep doing what they're doing because they're defunding the police in other areas. All right. So the article says the seven-pronged plan announced at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Oh, boy, I bet they've changed from John Jay. John Jay was our first Supreme Court justice. He was the one that didn't like judicial review. He was the one that actually wanted the Supreme Court to follow the Constitution. Unfortunately, following John Jay was John Marshall. John Marshall is the one that brought in judicial review. And if you want to hear some spicy debates on judicial review, come to our Action Radio Gun Report or our Second Amendment Report with Jim Dykes, because we have, you know, very interesting and different views on judicial review. In fact, he's modified my view quite a bit. Because I realized that if the Supreme Court doesn't have the power to declare things unconstitutional, then who will? And I sort of thought, okay, yeah, states and the people and juries and things like that, but the juries aren't really well enough informed yet, and they certainly can add to that. Where my objection is when the Supreme Court, you know, tries to make a remedy from their decision. So yes, they can declare things unconstitutional. No, they cannot provide a remedy. Okay, so that's where they get screwed up. So all those judicial orders, and that goes all the way through the judicial system. So any judge, anybody that's providing a remedy to a situation in the judiciary, they can't do that. They can only decide the case. Once the case is decided, it's up to the legislatures to provide the remedy. That's checks and balance. That's how a multi-faceted government works, you know, where you have legislative, judicial, executive, you know, so they can't keep doing each other's jobs. All right, so back to the seven-pronged plan announced at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in Manhattan does not directly mention funding or even enforcing laws or cracking down on criminals, but instead uses Democrat talking points like agenda items. Okay, so here we go. Here's a quote. I am issuing an executive order declaring a disaster emergency on gun violence. Of course, that's Andrew Cuomo, who just last month ended the COVID-19 disaster emergency order in his state. Are they limited? Can they only have like one disaster emergency at a time? This is a new category, disaster emergency. Again, is it more serious than a regular emergency? Is it more serious than a disaster? All right. And this is from WHEC 10, Rochester, New York. Gun violence is a public health crisis. I mean, we must treat it like one. Well, how do you do that exactly? Quarantine? Vaccination? What do you do? Are you going to vaccinate the guns? I'm sorry. This is how silly this is. This is why it's not a public health crisis. Okay. It's a legal crisis. It's a safety crisis, but it's not a health crisis, even though the CDC would love to do this. So just wait. Just wait. I mean, here's my prediction right now. All right? So the next thing that's going to happen from this is that the CDC is going to go back to what they do before, what they do best, which is being, you know, leftists. And they're going to say, yes, we have all these studies proving that gun ownership is mentally disturbed. You know, it's a mental problem. It's a sickness. It's a mental illness for people that want to own guns. You know, that's what they're going to come up with. And that's how they're going to relate this into the public health crisis. They're going to get to confiscation. I haven't seen it yet, but it's only a matter of time. All right, back to the article. This declaration will allow us to give this crisis the full attention and resources it deserves. So they're going to spend money. They're going to spend lots and lots of money. So they're going to say treat gun violence as a public health emergency. So does that mean criminals are going to go to, I don't know, mental health hospitals, you know, instead of jail? You know, if it's a health emergency, wouldn't there be a health cure? So this is where I'm, you know, if I were a reporter standing in front of Andrew Cuomo, this is what I'd be asking. He'll never be asked this, of course, because he's in New York and they love him for some reason. I'm not quite sure why, especially after all the people he killed during the whole COVID, you know, government pandemic. All right. So treat gun violence as a public health emergency. Study hotspots with data and science. you folks know John Lott? You know, John, who routinely shows the debacle, the stupidity, the insanity, the irrationality, let's come up with a conclusion and then create the evidence for it of data and science when it comes to guns with the government. Now, here we go. Engage with at-risk youth. Curious how they're going to do that. Disarm the gangs? Break the cycle of rising violence. Okay, that's a good platitude. Take illegal guns off the streets. Okay, well, that's a good thing. I don't mind that. But I want to know what they mean by illegal guns and on the streets. Okay, so here's a question for you. What exactly is a gun on the street? Okay, does that mean a gun in the possession of a criminal walking down the street? Is that a law-abiding concealed carry holder with their gun on the street? Is on the street, you know, your home as well? Is it all the guns that are owned out there? So nobody really defines, you know, getting guns off the streets. The visual image is you're actually taking, you know, criminals and rounding them up and taking their guns and all that kind of stuff. But what they really mean by off the streets is basically your gun. You, the law-abiding citizen, they want your gun off the streets so you can't protect yourselves. All right. Quote, keep dangerous people from acquiring guns. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, see, words are everything. If you want to know what the liberals are thinking, you got to look at the words. All right. So the words keep dangerous people from acquiring guns. It used to be mentally ill people. Okay. And how do you define a dangerous person? When they consider Trump supporters to be terrorists, a dangerous person could be any conservative, could be any Christian, could be any white person. You know, they think is a white nationalist or a white supremacist. You know, dangerous people to the left is anybody who's not the left. So this could be a pretty big category. So you want to watch and see what's going on here. Rebuild the community police relationship, which is going to be interesting as they defund the police. Okay, so let's see what happens in New York. Ideally, Curtis Sliwa will win the New York mayorship, which should be funny as hell because the first person he's going to start criticizing is Andrew Cuomo, the governor. That should be fun. Oh, here we go. The next article says, like Chicago under Mayor Lightfoot, New York has seen a rise it's not gun violence, it's crime. Reports show 687 people have been injured or killed in a shooting this year through June 6, reflecting the most since 2000. I think what happened back in 2000. Experts on Newsmax have forecast a violent summer ahead. Well, we're kind of there now. And even, Thief in Chief Joe Biden has sought to address the rising violence nationwide, declaring the federal government will be, quote, taking on the bad actors doing bad things to our communities. Yeah. Well, that's kind of interesting because the federal government has no authority in law enforcement. They don't. I was reading, it's one of the things I was reading about abolishing the FBI. There's some 3,000 now federal criminal laws, all of which are unconstitutional because the only constitutional ones are treason, bribery, and counterfeiting. That's it. Okay. That's where the federal government has jurisdiction over crime. Everything else belongs to the states per the 10th Amendment. All right. So the fact that Chief and Chief Joe Biden is involved in this at all is unconstitutional because it's such a problem. Okay. That's a state issue and it's a local issue, you know, city county issue. Anyway. So, this is Biden's plan does not include using unspent money from the American Rescue Plan. Well, shouldn't unspent money go back to the Treasury? I don't know what's wrong with me. Okay, fine. All right, so much for that story. So that's what's going on. Basically, here's what's happening. They've completely gotten around the Second Amendment by basically ignoring it. And so the thing to watch with this, you know, the fact of declaring, quote, gun violence a public health issue is the same, you know, logic with COVID, where they said that, well, the public health issue, you know, for the greater good, you know, for there's an emergency. And once you declare an emergency, that somehow seems to, in the leftist mind, that means you can subvert the Constitution. All right. So emergency and a disaster emergency, which is even worse, means you can subvert the Constitution even faster. So what's really going on here is a complete usurpation of the Constitution under the guise of an emergency. All right. This stems directly from what happened with COVID in 2020. All right. So for all those folks that didn't resist, you know, that didn't question the executive orders, that sort of, you know, knuckled under and went along with it, this is the result because now they want to do more. You know, you can't give the left anything because the more you give them, the more they're going to take. I mean, this is how this works. All right. And so anyway, that's where we are now. So I'm going to, you know, so that's so much for that story. Let's get rid of that one. But I'm going to come back. We'll take a little break here and we'll talk about Thief in Chief Biden with his little door to door. I'm from the government and I'm here to jab you. You know, of course, my first question, I asked this on Facebook on my page. I put it in the group. What if I put this exactly? Oh, here we go. How exactly will the Biden folks know which doors to knock on to try and get them jabbed? Do they have your medical reports? You know, see, no one's asking this. This is what we do here at Action Radio. So I'm thinking, okay, so how are they going to do that exactly? How are they going to, you know, which doors are they going to decide to knock on? Are they going to go on the Jehovah's Witnesses? You know, because they don't take, these folks don't even do operations without, they don't even take transfusions. You know, they use their own blood for it, which is, you know, given the quality of the blood supply, is actually not a bad idea. So it's something to think about. And people do that. They'll donate blood, you know, for their own personal use, you know, later on down the line, which is kind of interesting. You know, so I wonder how much blood I got in my heart surgery. Well, I'm fine so far. So, hey, let's keep going. I'm still breathing, still talking. So, you know, hey, it's another great day above ground. And, but this is something to think about. You know, all these different, you know, actions and stuff that's going on. You know, where are they getting it from? Well, they're getting it from you. You know, not you who are listening necessarily, but you, the American public, who went along with all this crap and said it's okay to destroy the Constitution in the name of public health. So now everything's going to have a public health label. Every disaster, every emergency, every leftist agenda, you know, pretty soon climate change will be a public health issue. All right. Now, I just thought of that just now. But you wait and see. You wait and see. You wait and see if it doesn't happen that you know, climate change becomes a public health issue. You know, for your health, we have to take away your car. For your health, we have to, you know, take away your single-family home. I mean, this is for your health, or this is a public health emergency, because we're all going to die unless we change things, you know, for the public health. Maybe it's already being done, and I just haven't noticed it. You know, feel free to give me a call, 215-383-3832. So I've got some special folks here that have commissioned me to make these amazing – oh, I think they're amazing reports. Not that what I'm saying is amazing, but the fact that the things I get to report on are amazing. And that would be our founding documents. And I've never really noticed the anti-federalist papers until when I, you know, just this week when I made this report on anti-federalist one. I played it yesterday. But let me give you a little bit of background on Santa Rosa Volunteers, the folks that are helping me out, being a sponsor to the show here. And let me play their intro, and then I'll give you the report I did on the federal one. So I'll be right back after this. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. I am proud to announce a new feature of Action Radio. Santa Rosa Volunteers has commissioned me to bring to you an education in our founding documents, one focused subject at a time. Each week, we will have a new presentation drawing from the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, the Constitution, and who knows, maybe back to Magna Carta. So enjoy learning about your God-given birthright in these vignettes. Share them with your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your friends, in fact, anyone you want to serve, an accessible yet poignant introduction to a lifelong journey in the study and practice of liberty. The whole purpose of these presentations is to inform a generation or two of Americans about the true meaning of our founding. They should have gotten that in school. Since that is not happening, Santa Rosa Volunteers has decided to help change that. If you want to learn more about Santa Rosa Volunteers and maybe get involved, their website is srv1776.com, srv1776.com. Their email is srv1776@protonmail.com. It is their goal to share local community information while encouraging everyone to feel welcomed and informed. Santa Rosa Volunteers says, "Arise, patriots! It is time to take our republic back. The sleeping giant awakens. Arise, patriots, and get involved." Until next time, this is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a quandary when it comes to what to do with the legislation. I've got a bunch of ideas. You know, I need to develop them into bills and get your comments on them and make them better bills. And that's how we make better bills is, you know, the public comment process at writeyourlaws.com. But there's been so much news to report. But the other thing, it's a little bit discouraging because I post, you know, bills and I talk about these things. And people are just like they were reluctant to resist the lockdowns and they cooperated with the masks way too much. People, I'm talking about, you know, regular American folks that want freedom, they're much, much too willing, you know, to post memes and not enough just to make a phone call or an email or share a bill or even read a bill. And so the bills that we have can set you free. You know, if enough folks are sharing the show, if enough folks are reading them, if enough people, you know, get them to, you know, various media outlets and members of Congress where it makes a difference, you know, the national debate changes. And we change everything, you know. For example, we have a bill, a public comment period, you know, for bills over $100 million. I mean, I just picked that number. I have no idea whether that's a good number or not. Congress can do that. They can figure something out. You know, they're going to get the legislation anyway. But the point is, a 30-day comment period would allow us to take a look and see what's in these huge budget bills. It would allow the media to take a look at what's in these budget bills. And most important, it would allow the members of Congress to look and see what's inside these huge budget bills. Okay. So if we start introducing a bill that says that there has to be a mandatory comment period, public comment period for legislation over $100 million, and we want that public comment period to be 30 days, and we can change the debate from, you know, well, should it be 30 days? Should it be 15 days? Should it be 2 weeks? Should it be 21 days? You know, if we can change the debate that includes a public comment period for budget, you know, items, then we totally change how things are done. Okay. So it's interesting that, you know, in going to one of the details of the bill, you actually introduce the idea into people's heads that there should be a public comment period on budget legislation. At this point, there isn't. Okay. That would be a fundamental change in how this country operates, because if we have a public comment period, you know, for bills, and maybe there's some other ones that need public comments too. I mean, they're public comments for regulations. It just doesn't do any good because the regulatory agency does whatever they please. Okay. So although it's a nice idea, I don't think it would be anywhere near as effective as a public comment period on legislation. So in other words, you know, we submit the bill to the public, to the media, to Congress, and with enough public pressure and support, I like to say support rather than pressure, actually, but enough public support, then Congress says, this is an interesting idea. Let's take a look at it. And then, of course, the objections come in, cost too much, delays too much, you know, it's cumbersome, you know, people don't understand the bills, yada, 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 a bunch of crap. But anyway, the objections will come out. But at least you're talking about a public comment period for huge bills. So what if the stimulus bill was subject to a 30-day comment period? You know, people would go, what? That's what's in there? And it would give you 30 days to object to it and 30 days to do something. It would stop the passage in the middle of the night of huge bills because whatever final form of the bill is would have to go for a 30-day comment period. Now, if that's something you want, we can have that. But it's going to take people wanting it to have it, like millions, okay, literally. This is why I say if you want to change your country, you know, we've got the change right here. We know how to do it. We've got the legislation. We've got everything that's needed except you, except your input, your voice, and sharing of the show, you know, so we get a million listeners behind us, you know. So if you want freedom, the means to freedom is already here, okay? The technology for freedom is already here. The way to disperse the information, to get it out there, to get into the media, to get it into talk shows, it's already there. The only thing that isn't there is you doing it. I mean, literally, it's that simple, okay? We figured out everything else. It's pretty much done. And, of course, you know, your ideas. We need your ideas, your brilliance, your common sense brilliance. You know, you know, just regular American citizen. You know, I have more faith in regular American citizen ideas than I do in all the stuff coming out of the elites in Washington, because they only do it for themselves. You know, generally people, when they write legislation, citizen legislation, they write it for everybody. So it's far better in terms of the quality of the legislation, simply because they're writing for everybody, as opposed to the special interests writing for themselves. So it's all up to you. I mean, it really is. I mean, I'm one person with a microphone, you know, and this microphone would be a hell of a lot more powerful with a whole lot more folks listening. So if you want to have an impact, share the show. I mean, it really is that simple. And so if you share the show and the people you share to share the show and people that they share to share the show, and pretty soon, you know, pretty soon we're changing the national debate in terms of things that the elites never thought possible. That's a good thing. All right. So let's get back to where's my next article here? Yes. Well, I've got a couple of articles in this, and I'll see if I can find some differences between them. But the first, of course, one of my favorites, the New York Post, which I just found out recently, was started by Ben Franklin. And so it's one of the oldest newspapers in the country, if not one, you know, if not the oldest continuously operating newspaper in the country. But the New York Post is great. So the headline from yesterday by David Marcus, Biden introduces door-to-door vaccination effort. Okay. Isn't that special? Don't you just want someone from the government saying, hi, I'm here from the government. I'm here to jab you. And the question is, how the hell do they know which doors to knock on? Because you can't knock on all of them, you know, unless they have your medical records. You know, or unless they're just knocking on the doors of the conservatives, you know, whose doors are they knocking on? You know, are they going to try and do this? You know, are they going to go to black residents and say, you know, you poor victim of racism, have you had your vaccine? You know, which might make them a victim of the vaccine. Okay, so I wonder if any racial difference. I wonder if anybody's done a study on vaccine injuries and deaths, you know, by race. I don't know. I just thought of it. I'm just asking the questions. Don't mind me. David Marcus, yesterday, 6:09 p.m., said, President, Thief in Chief, that's what I'm calling him today. Coup insurrectionist Joe Biden announced Tuesday that his insurrection, let me rephrase this. Thief in Chief Joe Biden announced Tuesday that his insurrection would step up efforts to get Americans vaccinated against COVID-19, let me insert here, with messenger RNA FDA unapproved experimental gene shots, okay, with a new program that would go, quote, door to door, literally knocking on doors, urging people to get the shots. Now, why would they do that? Anybody, what vital interest is it of the Biden insurrection, you know, thief in chief Biden, missing in action Biden? What interest do they have in doing this? You know, if they're really worried about the public health, they would know that the whole country has been exposed to COVID already. Okay. So here's something else that's interesting, too. And I was thinking about this. I got to talk to Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Mikovits, and get their opinions. You know, there are millions of people. They say less than half the country is, quote, fully vaccinated. All right. We know that the CDC numbers as of July 4th last year, okay, were totally bogus. The PCR test had like a 95% or 90% false positive rate because it was never designed to test for COVID, and they amplify the results anyway. And everybody's got some COVID in them anyway because everybody's been exposed to the virus. I learned that over a year ago, back in March of 2020, when a Japanese executive of a company went to I'm sending a pinging him from my computer. I don't know if you guys can hear it or not. It happens occasionally. I'll have to turn Facebook volume down. Later. Anyway, so this executive who was a, you know, member of our federal government, you know, in the health, probably Health and Human Services, vaccine expert, you know, then went to private industry, which they all do, comes back and briefs the Republicans in Congress, you know, the geldings, that everybody's going to get exposed to COVID. Well, if everybody's going to get exposed to COVID, then, you know, one of two things will happen. They will get it or they won't get it. All right. So this is even before the vaccines. So if everybody's getting exposed, all right, and millions of people, and only half the country, less than half the country has been vaccinated, all right, and millions of people have already had it, okay. So how many millions of people both have not had the vaccine, were exposed to the virus, and didn't get it? So this is a whole new category that nobody's ever talked about, all right. So I'm curious about this. So there's got to be millions of people out there that their immune system was such that they were exposed to it, because everybody was exposed, right? That's how a virus works. Everybody gets exposed to the flu virus in the winter, but how many people get it? A small percentage, the vulnerable, okay? The folks that are older really have a bad time with it because flu can kill. It kills a lot of people, like 80,000 Americans a year, older Americans die of the flu, okay? You know, so and we figured out about 36,000 to 40,000 actually died of COVID, you know, from it, not with it, right? And Tucker Carlson reported last night that the average age of people dying from COVID is over the average life expectancy. So people are already out, you know, have already passed the average life expectancy when they're dying of COVID. That's fascinating too. So where's the crisis? So people are living beyond expectation, and that's the crisis? So what the real crisis is control and money, okay? And so the Obama, you know, insurrection wants control, and the Fauci, you know, avaricious, you know, big pharma group wants money. So you got power and money. Everything comes down to power and money, right? You know, they say the love of money is the root of all evil. I would say the love of power is really the root of all evil, because money is just a commodity. Power is an obsession. Well, money can be an obsession too. But I think really you get down to, you know, it comes down to you know, which is worse, money or power. Money can do good things. Power generally doesn't do anything good, you know, unless it's just control or power over your own life as an individual. Individual rights are power, self-power. Okay, so that's a good thing, all right? But anything outside that, any force that exercises power over any entity that exercises power over another entity, it's probably going to be a problem, all right? So that's why government, the least good is the best. All right, so back to what's going on here. So my question is, how do they know which doors to knock on? Okay, unless they have your medical records, you know, they can't knock on everybody's door. We just did a census, all right? Even the census didn't knock on everybody's door. They compelled everybody to sign up for the census. Well, of course, now they have the census records. And I don't remember a question on vaccination being there, and I wouldn't have answered it anyway. It's none of their damn business. But don't we have laws protecting your medical information? Don't we have HIPAA laws that say you can't be required to divulge personal medical information? You know, don't we have the Nuremberg codes, which say you cannot be forced into a medical procedure that you don't want? Okay, so they're violating Nuremberg. They're violating HIPAA, but that's no problem for a person in a government, you know, that violated, you know, the Constitution to get in office in the first place. So all these things kind of tie together. All right. So during his remarks, the thief in chief said, "We need to go community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes," who uses the word oft? "Door to door, literally knocking on doors to encourage vaccination." Okay, so let me get back to my question. It says those knocking on the doors will offer information about the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine. Okay, are they also going to offer counter information? You know, disclaimers. You know, like the vaccine manufacturers have no liability. You know, is that going to be included? You know, can we take a look at the information there? You know, in fact, if somebody comes to my door, I'm going to, you know, be really you know, really surreptitious and quiet and just go, I've heard that the vaccine manufacturers don't have any liability for their products. Is that true? Well, is it true that the PRC test was actually, you know, a lipid analyze test that wasn't designed for viruses at all? You know, is that true? You know, just to see how much the person knows. In fact, I want to see ID. Okay, someone comes to my door saying they're from the government and they're here to jab me or get me jabbed. I want to see an ID. I want to know which department is doing this. I want to know where the money's coming from. So this is a serious deal, and this comes directly from the executive orders to lock down and mask, all right? This is where all this crap comes from the original declaration of emergency. So it wouldn't be surprising to me if Thief in Chief Biden, at some point, once they realize that their voluntary program isn't working the way they want to get everybody vaccinated for, you know, power and money and control and population control and all the other things they want. You know, it's interesting. They're controlling the American population, but they're letting the illegal population in. Anybody else see that as a replacement program? You know, because that's what's going on here. All right, so it fascinates me the contempt they have for Americans and the kowtowing to illegals. It's really quite fascinating. Do illegals, do they get a COVID vaccine when they walk into the country? I mean where's the government official, you know, at the border saying, "Excuse me, we'd like to interest you in a vaccine now that you're illegally entering our country"? That's not happening because they don't care. All right. So if you want to know if a policy is honorable, just look at the hypocrisy. And the hypocrisy of this is incredible. So they're going to go door to door to get Americans, you know, jabbed, but illegal aliens, hey, come on in. You know, nobody's at the border doing the same thing there, which is fascinating. All right. The administration, back to the article, this is the New York Post, failed to reach its self-imposed goal of having 70% of the nation's eligible people at least partially vaccinated by July 4th. Now, isn't it interesting that Independence Day, they want you dependent on government programs? Fascinating how the intellectual, you know, psychological beating down works. Anyway, so that's the New York Post. So they've you know, anything else I want to particularly read on this one? Yeah, well, you know, the question is, when do they go from voluntary to mandatory? That's where it's going to be interesting. So that's the door to door. Let's go to that one. Let's take another one. Let's go Epoch Times. So New York Post, pretty good. Epoch Times, even better. And so let's see if there's any different information there. So this is vaccine and safety. Let's do this. All right. This is July 6th, yesterday, Jack Phillips. Updated on July 7th. Ooh, we got the latest information. I'm so cool. All right. So Thief in Chief Joe Biden, another White House insurrectionist. Don't mind me. I'm just adding words. All right. Okay. I'm not quoting exactly. On Tuesday, said the federal government will start targeted community door-to-door outreach in an effort to boost COVID-19 vaccination rates. Should we tell them that this kind of ended last year? That the pandemic there was, the normal vaccine, the normal, virus cycle is about, 8 to 10 weeks, that it started in the end of January, it peaked April 15th, and by July 4th, it was pretty much gone, and everything after that is bogus numbers. Do you think that might enter into the debate at all? Do you think anybody's going to introduce that? Do you think one person, would stand up in Congress or somewhere or in the media and say, excuse me, but did the pandemic, really end last year? Why are you doing this? Why are you vaccinating people for a virus that's gone? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I know what it is. It's the Delta variant. Okay? The Delta variant. See, the nice thing about your immune system is that I remember reading about a doctor that said these variants are so close to the original that your body immediately recognizes it and stops it. Like I say, there are millions of people that didn't have a vaccine, were exposed to COVID, and didn't get COVID. Well, isn't that fascinating? Well, if they didn't get COVID the first time, why would they need a vaccine now? Okay? If they already had COVID, they're immune to it, why would they need a vaccine now? So the one thing that none of these government agencies are doing, including the thief in chief himself and his whole insurrection, is studying the people who don't need the vaccine. They just want everybody to get it. That's why this is fraudulent. This is why that's how this is a total fraud, a total scheme. Because the one thing they're not doing. Now, the first thing you do with any medical procedure, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, all right, call me, 215-383-3832. The first thing you do with a medical procedure by the Hippocratic Oath is make sure it does no harm. Isn't that the number one priority of every doctor who practices, is the first you do no harm? So why would you give a vaccine that is unapproved, that is experimental, that screws around with your DNA, that goes for messenger RNA, that's basically designed on a computer, what could go wrong, for people that have already either had the disease, had the virus, and have immunity, or didn't have the virus and have immunity, because they didn't get it when they were exposed, okay? So the question becomes, what percentage of the country would actually benefit from an experimental vaccine? I think your percentage is now some people probably could. I've talked to friends who talk about, immune compromised people. They don't have the same immune system. So in that respect, of course, I want a safe vaccine, not this crap they're pushing out now. But if there were a safe vaccine, and I've talked to doctors that say there is no safe vaccine. There's not any. There's too much crap in them. They put all this, other stuff they don't need, fetal baby tissue, aluminum, squalene, which is in all flu shots and also was in the shots that everybody thinks caused Gulf War syndrome. So even if you get a good thing in there, it's probably surrounded by so much crap, it's not going to do any good anyway. So what's the best thing to do with people who are vulnerable to this virus? Do you isolate? Do you boost their immune system? I don't know. Here's a noble thought. How about curing it? Okay. So the one thing that's not in this program either are cures. All right. So no one's talking about I saw in a recent article somebody sent me this experiment. It was from last year. And they said, hey, this works great. That if you have, let me pull it up right now. I might see if I can get to the good part of it. Where's my article? That's not it. Oh, I guess I buried it. Anyway, so I got an article. And I'll probably do it, some other time. Maybe I'll pull it out in a break. But basically, it was a study from last year that talked about prophylactic cures or therapies. Basically hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, vitamin C, vitamin D, the things we know cure COVID, all right? And the things that we know prevent COVID, all right? So actually, the best thing, for folks that are vulnerable, they should, rather than a vaccine that's unproven, they should be on a massive immune-boosting system. Massive amounts of vitamin C, vitamin D, whatever, medicine, prescribes, build up that zinc, put in that hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or quercetin or some of the other drugs that that really boost your immune system, especially against COVID. And if you get it, it's still curable. So the one thing that the vaccine folks never talk about is a cure. So let's add another group here. Let's add another factor into this. So you've got folks I'm trying to kind of, you know, summarize all this in my head here. And then I got more other articles in the next hour. So you've got folks that were exposed to this and didn't get it because their immune system is great. There are folks that were exposed to this and did get it, and their immune system stopped it, and their immune system is now great, you know. So, and that's probably most of the country right there, okay? You've got folks that got it, and unfortunately, you know, a very small percentage passed away from this, which is terrible. But did they ever get the cure? See, that's the real question. How many people didn't get the cure? You know, it's hard to know whether you're talking about people that died from it or died with it. Either way, if they had the cure, they might not have died either from it or with it. All right? So there's another whole group. And that's not being looked at either. So see, all roads lead to vaccines. All roads lead to vaccinations. Nothing else is even considered. This is why I know this is a fraud. This is why I know this is a dangerous program. And this is why I know it's all about power and money. Because neither immunes, they're not considering who shouldn't get it because they were exposed and didn't get it. They're exposed and did get it and are now immune. Or the folks that could be easily cured, you know, with the cures we know about that I just went over, all right? So you've got people who can be cured, which is almost everybody, all right? You've got people who were exposed who didn't get it, people who were exposed who did get it, you know? So who's left to be vaccinated? That's the question. I'd say almost nobody, you know, because you're going to fall into one of those three groups. You can be cured. You've already had it and are immune, or you didn't have it and your immune system prevented you from getting it. So you know, how many people need to be actually vaccinated? Very few. Anyway, so but they're trying to vaccinate everybody. So the fact they're trying to vaccinate everybody and not testing who doesn't need it, to me, is absolute proof this is a total fraud. Okay. Thief in Chief Biden and other White House insurrectionists on Tuesday said the federal government will start targeting because millions of Americans are unvaccinated and due to the so-called Delta COVID-19 variant that's spreading, Biden has said that his administration will attempt to ramp up vaccination efforts. Okay, so here's a question for you. Does anybody believe for a second that this, quote, Delta variant is any more threat than the original COVID? Okay? Does anybody think that, you know, you have to get vaccinated for every variant? You know, I go back to the shampoo, you know, thing, you know, wash, rinse, and repeat. Okay? So the worst words on that are and repeat because you don't have to. You know, at what point did you learn you didn't have to wash, rinse, and repeat? You just washed and rinsed. Okay? Same thing here. At what point do you realize that, you know, if you've gone to the trouble to get vaccinated for one, especially if you got sick from it, all right, that you want to go back for more for every variant? They could do this all the time. This is like a new model car, all right? So think of your vaccine, you know, folks as your car sales folks, all right? There's not much difference. Hey, you got one last year. Why don't you get a new one this year? It's different. It's new and improved. Okay, so I wonder if they're going to take car sales folks that are out of work for any reason and send them around door to door and say, have I got a deal for you? Yes, you can have the latest, 2021. You can have the latest 2021 variant. Yes, you've got it. So I don't know. I just find that interesting. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the car sales folks that come around to try and persuade you to take this year's new model vaccine. Yes, we're going to put you in one today. Back to the article. Do it now. Yeah, there you go. It's just like car sales, right? So Biden says, do it now during a White House press conference referring to getting vaccinated. The thief in chief said that people will be, quote, knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people. How do I tell them this? I don't need your help. You know, shut the hell up and go away, okay? And they say, who aren't vaccinated? It's part of a community outreach program. Oh, really? Is it voluntary? Do they take your name? You know, I mean, are they going to be secretly recording? Is this a way to find? No, I mean, and you know what they would say, anti-vaxxers. Now, so let's say this is like the census, okay? The census comes around. Census worker comes around, presents ID, says it from the census. You know, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, right? So they come up at your door, and they ask all kinds of personal information. And you think you have to give it to them because it looks like they're a government person. It could be the local, I don't know, organized crime syndicate. How do you know? It could be sex traffickers looking for, you know, whatever. Anyway, looking for new markets. So a person from the government comes to your door. They obviously know who you are because they came to your door. They know where you live because they came to your door. How much else? They came to your door probably because they have your health records and they know who was vaccinated and who wasn't. So how much do you want to actually tell these people? Now that I rethink this, I probably don't want to talk to them at all. I said, I'm sorry, thank you, I'm busy. You know, don't give them a reason. Oh, but we need to talk about vaccines. Okay, well, come back another time. Okay, fine. Come back another time. Hi. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy. You're busy last time. Yeah, I'm really busy. I mean, I really am busy. Okay. So do you want to tell these people anything? Or do you want to take a picture of them? you want to record the discussion. I think I might do that. Actually, that's probably a good idea to video. So here's a plan. Anybody that comes to your door says, I'm from the government. I'm here to get you jabbed. You know, so I modify the title of the show. They say, great. Do you mind if I video record this conversation? And if they say, yes, I say, well, it's nice talking to you. Bye. You know, and say, oh, no problem. Okay, good. Then we'll start showing them. I'd love to see what these people would say. So that'd be, we have an Action Radio video page. And so if somebody actually takes a video of these people doing this kind of stuff, hey, listen, you know, send it in. You know, join the Action Radio video page and let's see what we can get going here. All right. So anyway, so Biden, also spoke about how his insurrection plans to make the vaccine available in more healthcare settings. What more healthcare settings could they make it available in? This is like the Epoch Times article. Those initiatives include providing more assistance to thousands of pharmacies, doctor's offices, and other medical facilities so they can distribute vaccines. Shit. What's the kickback? So who makes money off this? Big Pharma, Dr. Fascist. Now, how do the folks in the Biden insurrection make money off this? Because you know the Biden family has got to be getting a kickback here somehow. All right? They don't. Is Hunter Biden on the vaccine board? this is where my mind goes. I'm wondering, you know, where exactly we're gonna end up with all this kind of stuff. All right. Biden said vaccines will also be doled out at sporting events, summer events, and religious activities. Oh, my God. Well, first of all, religious activities. And now we'd like to bless our congregation today, you know, give thanks to the Lord and, pass the vaccine. You know, would you like to come up for a communion and a vaccine? You know, think about that. You know, so the music's playing. Can you see this right now in like a Catholic church? We'll just pick on the Catholics because why not? All right. So there you are. So you're a good Catholic. You're in Catholic church. And the priest gets up and says, well, now we're going to have communion and vaccination. What? Where the hell did that come from? And what is this church-state interference going on here? Why is the federal government doing anything with churches at all? Why are they at religious activities? Where's the separation of church and state? Okay. What is it conveniently? Ever since they locked down the churches, you know, the churches went along with it. So the there were two problems here. One, that the churches were locked down, and two, that they went along with it. Okay. They never should have gone along with it. You know, every church in this country just said, you know, I got to put this politely, F you. No, we're not closing. Okay. There is a separation in the fact that the federal government has no impact on the church. The church, of course, can have an impact on the federal government. That's their job. Okay. The church, you know, as Jefferson said, and I'll talk about in one of my future founding moments, that Jefferson, the whole wall of separation idea, when he wrote the Baptist, everybody knows what Jefferson said to the Baptist. No one knows what the Baptist said to Jefferson. So I'll cover that, you know, so we have I actually covered that in a previous show on WBY. But what the hell are they doing in religious activities? All right. The federal government has no business at a religious activity. Any religious activity that allows the federal government to have anything to do with it, you should leave that activity. You should leave that church. You should leave that religion. You should leave anything to do with any religious entity that allows the federal government to do anything in your religious activity. I mean, that's sacrilege right there. Who the hell do they think they are? If anybody that does is guilty of a First Amendment violation. See, this is why we need penalties for government officials that violate the Constitution. You know, that's another huge area of law. So vaccines will also be doled out at sporting events. Get your hot dogs, get your COVID vaccine, get your popcorn, get your programs. Can't tell a thing without a program. You know, vaccine directions will be in the back of the program. Come on down. Get, you know, or was it the ticket booth? By the way, you know, here's your tickets. And could you just give us your left arm, please? Oh, okay, fine. You know, how's this going to work? Summer events? You know, what kind of pressure is this? You know, especially when I can see the baseball scoreboard now. Have you got your vaccine? You know, have you been to the COVID stand? You know, you got your hot. I mean, they probably have music in the background, so we need some like baseball music in the background, right? And so you'll be at your game, and you're waiting for baseball to start. You know, and probably in some stadiums in the Northeast and the liberal places, everybody will be 6 feet apart, or however they're going to do it. Right? And all of a sudden, this big sign flashes up: "Hey, get your hot dogs, get your popcorn, get your vaccine." Sorry, I can't help it. This is so stupid. We're living in Alice in Wonderland land. I mean, we really are. Here we go. Let's go back to what the thief in chief Biden said. Younger Americans seem particularly reluctant to get the vaccine. Well, yeah, that's because younger Americans are particularly immune to the virus, moron. That's obvious. All right. So what is this? This is another thing, too. What is this big push to vaccinate 12 to 18-year-olds? And why are some states allowing kids, you know, to violate their parents' directives and get vaccinated anyway as some kind of form of rebellion? I have an article on that. All right. That's the scariest thing going. you know, anybody that wants to improve school districts, and we've got a lot of folks around here working on that. The first thing you do is you need to mandate that no child gets anything medical without permission of their parents. Okay, that's just that simple, especially something that can change your life. Remember, there's no recovery from the vaccine. None. In fact, this is probably a good time to play this, and I'll cover the rest of this article. We do have a PSA that you might find instructive. So let me just dig that out here real quickly, and I'll be back in a minute. Right there.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back.
Yeah, I got Josie in line. I'll get to her in just a second. I want to finish this article. But let's go to my favorite person, you know, Jen Circleback Psaki, who said, White House press secretary said the administration's, the insurrection's efforts will include targeted by community door-to-door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated. Now, the article says in Epic Times, it's not clear how the insurrection plans to accomplish this, and neither she nor Biden provided any more details. The insurrection will first target communities with lower vaccination rates, she added. That would be Jen Psaki, Circleback Psaki. The door-to-door outreach efforts will get information about vaccines to people who haven't received them yet. Well, yeah, when the government says they're going to provide you with information, what kind of coercion goes with that? You know, do you have to check off a form saying that you received the information? Does your name go into the unvaccinated group? Because obviously the vaccinated are going to say, well, I've already been vaccinated. I don't need the information. In fact, maybe that's a good strategy. Maybe we should all say, oh, thanks for your help. I'm already fully vaccinated. Yeah, well, I'm fully vaccinated, you know, as of about age 5. Okay. So, yeah, I got everything I, you know, needed and didn't want. Because I did, you know, it's funny, I didn't consent to any of it. Knowing what I know now, I probably wouldn't have. But anyway, so anybody can say they're fully vaccinated. Anybody who's gotten out of infancy can say they're fully vaccinated. Okay, and not be lying, which is kind of interesting. And so I think I might do that. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm fully vaccinated. Okay, fine. The administration, there we go again. The insurrection will first target communities with lower vaccination rates. The door-to-door outreach efforts will get info. I read that. I'm sorry. The plan is part of the government's COVID-19 response after the White House fell shy of its self-imposed July 4th deadline to get 70% of American adults at least one vaccination. Well, that's a stupid thing. You know, where's the volunteer? Where's the consent? Where's the consent of the governed? You know, where's the due process? Where's the where's the HIPAA? You know, where's everything, our rights, everything else like that? Anyway, according to data from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, which of course is suspect by everything, more than 67% of American adults have received at least one shot, and more than 157 million are fully vaccinated. Which means, you know, let me do the math here. Let me reach back to my calculator. If 157 million Americans are fully vaccinated, and there's 330 million Americans, 330 minus 157 is 173, which means over half of you are still safe from the COVID vaccine. Josie, bad news. The teams deployed by the White House will be composed of officials from the CDC, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, that's FEMA, and other federal health agencies. All right. It comes to CDC Director Rochelle Walensky. Last week said there are still around 1,000 counties in the United States that have less than 30% vaccination coverage. That's probably Santa Rosa County, Florida. Okay. So I'm sure we're getting a knock on our door. They're mainly located in the Southeast. Yep, that's us. And the Midwest. Yeah, where the independent Americans live. Okay. All the red states. And I hate to say red states because red means communist. COVID-19. Oh, here we go. Here's a great disclaimer from Epic Times. COVID-19 is the illness caused by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party virus. The Delta variant has now been found in every U.S. state, health officials previously said. Okay, the Epoch Times has contacted the White House for comment on the outreach program. So listen to this. The Delta variant has now been found in every U.S. state, which means we've already been exposed to it. If you've already been exposed to it and you didn't get it, you don't need a vaccine. Once again, Action Radio is on top of everything. Good morning, Josie.
Hey, good morning. Circle back, you know, what you were saying. I was wearing the T-shirt this weekend, actually, for my event.
We have
the Donald Trump circle back. Me and my husband, people giving us a dirty look in different restaurants that we walked in, but too bad.
Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun to get those looks?
Yes.
Then you give them a dirty look back.
I have all the time.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah.
Let me tell you,
the
vaccine in Miami, people already paying big bucks to get the paperwork or whatever you get to show that you got the vaccine. That's what my sister was telling me the other day. She
this
only
paperwork?
Got one. I don't know what they give you to show you the certificate or whatever the heck you get. She said it's like a little card showing that you got both vaccine or something, where you got it from and all that. And she was going to try to buy the second one because she only got one vaccine because she was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days, very sick.
Right.
And she's afraid to get the second one because she's an idiot. She didn't want to listen to me. And I just got a phone
now
call a
listening?
Couple days ago. Now she's listening, but it's probably too late with the first one. And I got a phone call from Nicaragua 2 days ago that my niece, she's only 40 years old. She had pain in her abdomen. She didn't know what was happening. And I guess they were removing her appendicitis,
okay.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And when they opened her, they said she's full of, they look like blood clots. And they say, I think it's cancer. I think they're lying to me. I think she got the vaccine in January with my other sister in Nicaragua. So I'm going to find out if it's that, because now they told her she's stage 4 blood clots.
Stage 4 cancer?
For cancer all over.
What kind of cancer? Did they say what kind?
All over around the... They say all over in her stomach. So I don't know. She's only 40.
Well,
cancer
causes tumors. It doesn't cause blood clots. Now, maybe leukemia does. I'm not sure how leukemia works. But I'm just saying that, this might be pretty easy to refute.
We're going to find out in 10 days because it takes a while in Nicaragua to get results. You know, like here's probably 5-6 days. Over there, it's a little bit different. But I had a customer last week on a Thursday. No, Wednesday, actually, morning that I was working last Wednesday. And she brought a 4-year-old little girl talking about the vaccine. And she said, I took my little girl to the pediatrician, and he insisted that I need to vaccine my little girl with a COVID vaccine. And I said, no way. And she says, I'm not going back to that doctor. And he insists that the little girl should be vaccinated. And I was like, what? She's only 4 years old.
Well, first of all, the immunity
of
kids.
She's not going back.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of this is something I just discovered? Now, I hear something interesting on the Delta variant, and I forgot what news source it was. I was listening to the radio, and it came out of Sky News in Australia, and I'm trying to find the article so I can present it. So this is just from what I heard. But they were saying that the Delta variant, you know, is so much weaker. You know, even though the doom and gloom people, the Dr. Fascists who want you back in masks and lockdowns because they sell more vaccines that way. The Sky News in Australia was reporting that this is, the fatality rate is 0.008%. That's 0.008% Okay. That's like nothing. That's like people that are, in their 90s that, are on the short side of life anyway. And so it's fascinating to say that this is a new thing. And then they got the Lambda variant. Are they going through the whole Greek alphabet? This is kind of funny. What do they do when they get to Omega? They're starting at Alpha. It's like hurricanes. We'll give you the Greek alphabet. I learned the alphabet when I was in a fraternity. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Zeta, Eta, Alpha, Kappa. Wait a minute. I don't know. Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Xi, Omicron, Pi, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. There we go. That's the Greek alphabet. I learned something in college.
but
the point being,
but Greg,
everybody's been exposed to this.
I did see on the media that they are going door to door so people can get their vaccine. And I was crying yesterday on my way to work in the morning because one of my good friends in Washington, D.C., her husband felt bad, and the nurses were pushing and pushing and pushing for her husband to get the vaccine because he's taking care of his father back and forth, you know.
Right.
Like, he's really getting old and sick, very sick. And they made him feel so guilty every day, like, you're really going to make your father sick if you bring any bacteria, any COVID or anything, your father could die. And the guy fell for it, and he did both vaccines just now. And I was like, after all the videos that I have seen you, I can't believe it. I was very upset yesterday. I could not believe it. They're very close friends of mine.
Yes,
I just can't believe it. The stinking nurses made him feel so bad, and the doctor too.
And how many of those nurses and doctors have actually had the vaccine themselves?
They
folks in the medical profession.
Because one of the head nurses giving the vaccine at West Florida, she told me, I'm not taking that crap. I said, why not? You're giving it to everybody else. She said, well, that's my job.
Exactly.
So many, and some from Baptist Hospital too, they're not taking the vaccine. No, they're not. No.
You know, I've talked to many medical people that are not taking it because they know. They know it's an experiment. They know it's, you know, and most people don't need it. You know, like I say, the first, and I talked about this earlier in the show, the first rule of medicine is you do no harm. So the first rule before anybody gets a vaccine, they should be tested for immunity to COVID or asked, you know, have they ever had it? You know, just reading the Epoch Times, and I'm going to look at this Delta variant, but they just said that everybody has been, it's in every state already, which means everybody's already been exposed. Maybe not everybody, but I would say the majority of the U.S. population has already been exposed to the Delta variant, which makes three groups.
Yeah.
The group that exposed to it and didn't get it because their immune system is so good, they didn't get it, just like the original COVID. The second group that had the original COVID, and they're not going to get the variant because it's so close to the original, all of them are, according to the doctors I've read, that they've already got the immunity to it. So now you've got the groups that their immune system was good enough they didn't get the first time, the groups that have gotten it or are immune. I'm in that second group. I had it, I'm sure, like I say, last December. And I've been immune ever since. I haven't been sick yet, you know, so I've been in great shape. So I don't worry about it. I've been saying at it, right? And so I'm immune. You know, you're immune. And all of us are immune. And what about those folks that immune system is good enough that they didn't get it the first time? And they didn't have a vaccine or anything else. There's an entire group that no one's studied. Okay. So why not study those people and say the people who didn't get it at all? And my case was really mild. I had a really bad cough for 2 weeks, but I never had a fever, never lost taste and smell. And never I just felt, you know, lazy, you know, I just needed sleep and I got over it in 2 days. I didn't have any particular medicine. I didn't take hydroxychloroquine because even though I knew about it, I didn't know about it at that point. This was before I knew anything about COVID. All right. So I just said, I was bugged. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll sleep for a couple of days. I'll be fine. And I was. Okay. So I have a good enough immune system that I, you know, at my advanced age, you know, which is not that advanced, but I didn't need anything. Okay. So why not study the people? This would be a good Dr. Zelenko question. Why aren't they studying the people that never got it and never had a vaccine? What is it about their immune system that it's so good that as everybody got exposed across the country, a certain millions of people percentage wise didn't get it at all? And are they getting the vaccine? If you never had it, and everybody's been exposed to it for over a year now, almost a year and a half, what, January, March, April, it's been a year and a half since a year and a half ago, January.
Yeah,
you know, if you didn't get it now, why would you get a vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense. You've proven your immunity by not getting it after everybody's been exposed to this. And now we've been exposed to variants.
It's
ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's so easy to disprove.
Ridiculous.
So what do you do when someone knocks on your door? What are you going to do?
I will tell them, get out. I'm going to call the police. And if they don't leave, I got my Johnny in the house, my Second Amendment, and then I'll show that I have it, that I'm protected.
Yeah, so then you'll be labeled a terrorist, and they'll target you.
A lot of people, Bernie from Truth and RTV was saying, I guarantee you, people are going to be shot. He was saying that last night on his channel. He said, people are really going to be shot if they want to force people to take the vaccine. And they started doing that in Connecticut, actually. They were going door to door, and they started vaccinating. And this guy, like a security guy, I don't think he was a police. He had a gun. He said, if you don't take the vaccine, you know what I have with me. So he was really a threatened citizen. And a lot of these kids were handicapped kids, you know, that they were, and some of the young, they looked like they were like under 20 years old, like 17, 18, and they were screaming and crying. They didn't want it. They were trying to run. It was a horrible video that I saw. And this is happening here, here in America.
Oh, yeah, here in America. America's not American. There's certain parts that aren't American anymore.
They better
not
show up at my door. That's all I can say.
Well, here's the question. If they show up with information, that's one thing. You know, so I'm thinking of several options.
I don't know. I don't even let the Jehovah's Witness on my door. So why should I let this idiot?
Well, I'm not going to let anybody in my door. You know, but I'm just saying if they come to the door, you know, what do I want to do? Do I want to say, well, first of all, I don't have to answer it.
It's just my body, my choice.
Your body, your choice. Exactly. You know,
that's it. Okay, how many babies get aborted? My body, my choice. That's it.
Yep.
No, and hopefully before all this gets out of control, hopefully Donald Trump should be back. And I'm upset with him that he was telling people to get the vaccine. And a lot of our pastors, especially my pastor in Alabama Church, he vaccinated almost all the old folks from my church. Yeah, I'm sure
How did he do that? Remember the thing I was reading about religious events? So they're going to reach out. They're going to be at religious events. You know, where's the church-state separation? I mean, how dare they? And how dare any religious, entity let federal officials in? You know, government has its place and church has its place. And like I said, the way the country's set up, you know, the government cannot do anything to the church, but the church can be the moral authority over the government. That's how this is supposed to work.
My pastor's good friend with the CEO from Baptist and good friends with the Sacred Heart and all that, and he allowed Sacred Heart and to come in with a team of people to vaccinate hundreds of our old folks first members. And I seen one of my customers in line, and I'm like, please get out of that line. Please don't do it. She said, Josie, this is a blessing. And I'm going, oh, my Lord. Not much I can do.
They don't know. You know, how do you reach people and tell them just to think about it? You know, I mean, I wish more people were sharing the show. I mean, we're growing, but we're not growing fast enough. You know, but if people could, you know, at least question, you know, you've got a brain, use it. Ask yourself, why is it that millions of people in this country have never gotten COVID, yet everybody's been exposed? Ask yourself why millions of people in this country did get COVID, got over it, and are now immune to it, you know, and don't need a vaccine. So those two groups don't need a vaccine. And that's probably the majority of the country. It's probably 90, 95% of the country are people that either, you know, and most of them are kids. You know, a lot of the first group is kids who never got it, even though they were exposed to it. Okay. And so the first thing that they should do is, and this is something we should, you know, the members of Congress should be pushing, is a test for antibodies before any vaccine. Why isn't that included? You know, that's the very, because they want to sell vaccines. This is all about selling vaccines and having big pharma control your life and the government control. So it's power and money. Okay. It all comes down to power and money. Let me read you something that I find interesting. This is from the Defender.
Let me tell you quickly.
Okay.
Because I'm going to stay another few minutes. You have to get ready.
Okay.
I have a bunch of interviews.
All right. Don't
One
go
of
articles,
my friends at a local hospital here, she's on RN and she's been being bullied in her department. Because she's the only one, because she's a Trump supporter and conservative, and she knows a lot about the vaccine, and she has seen a lot in her department. She's the only one that hasn't been vaccinated, and she sent me a message that she's been bullied about it by her team members, and this is, and that she's not the only one, because a lot of the nurses, they come to my store, she says they're putting peer pressure on me, my group, my friends at work. And this is horrible because she says, I might have to quit if they continue. And this is an RN at the local hospital here.
See, now that's called that's a hostile work environment. You can sue over that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Equal Opportunity
She's
Employment Commission.
She's not comfortable right now. She told me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the EEOC, the Equal Employment. Yeah. There should be a labor lawyer, you know, or someone that should, there's a class action lawsuit here. You know, because all these folks that are being forced, they're creating a hostile work environment. You know, we should look that up. I mean, I'm going to write that down. Hostile work environment.
And my daughter
told
us last night, that they're going to have a meeting, I believe, this morning when they everybody comes back to work. And she believes the meeting is about taking the vaccine if they're going to continue working in that place. And they're a little bit short of help. And she says if they demand this vaccine, they're going to lose 7 people. And that's a lot of people, because including herself. Because I told my daughter, we don't need the money. We can send you plenty of money. We have it. And she inherited a lot of money, too, when my aunt died. So she's well set. So she really doesn't need to work. And if these people are going to demand the vaccine this morning, my daughter's going to quit. My daughter will not take that vaccine because she knows better.
There's always another job. There isn't another. Once you take the vaccine, there's no recovery. I mean, you know, in fact, I've been trying to look for, you know, vaccine recovery treatments. You know, the one I've heard is massive doses of vitamin C. But, let me get on my doctor friends again and see if I can, they can direct me towards, you know, treatments once you've had the vaccine, what you can do to minimize its effect. You never get rid of it. I mean, once it's in your system, it's in your system.
Well, it's Dr. Solenko put something, remember I texted to you? The vitamin C, D, zinc, and one more, he said, to start taking it, because once you take the vaccine, there's no going back. There's nothing you can do. Nothing. Uh-huh. But Dr. Solenko put out in this.
No, I've got it. We can't post it, though, because it's COVID stuff. Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, and I'd love to share it. But the problem is, well, here's what's interesting. Free Talk 45. Trump's new social media site. I've got that. I joined it, you know, months ago, but it never did anything. And so now it looks like they're kicking it in. Trump is speaking in an hour and a half. He's speaking at 10 o'clock Central Time.
Okay.
11 o'clock Eastern. And he's announcing his new social media site. So I'm assuming that, you know, Facebook's great for communicating with folks. But if Trump has a viable site and there's enough people on it to make it worthwhile, you know, I'll just post all my vaccine stuff there. Yeah, because they're not going to care. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, and I wanted to share, since my niece is in the, but she got discharged last night after the operation that they did, but they had her in the one of the communist hospitals in Nicaragua. So either you can be with hundreds of people all together coughing and everything, or you pay extra to the hospital, and this is socialist medicine, okay? Or you can pay extra money, which they really don't have a lot over there. And it's a lot of money, but they just pay to have her kind of like privately with 2 people instead of 50 people all in a huge place. So I'm thinking, I said, take a picture. I want to see a picture of the room. I hope she did. Her husband's a communist. What do you expect? So. Anyway, I'm going to let you go because I have to get ready to interview people. So,
Good luck with that. And hopefully you find people that actually want to work. And I'll you know, check the podcast later because I've got an article from The Defender I'm going to go over now and then play my Santa Rosa moments. And then
many of the applications, Greg, that I review and I call people for an appointment, they go, no, I'm not interested in the job. So what's going on is that they're applying to show the unemployment that they're looking for a job, but they don't want to work because this lady had, she has all these credentials and very nice. And I said, I want to give you an appointment to come for an interview. And she said, no, I'm not interested in the job. And I told my husband, now I get it. This is what's going on. They're applying. I have some applications with people with degrees, like you won't believe it. I was like, what the heck will they want to work at the uniform store?
Yeah.
And it's because they want free money. They don't want to work. And another thing, too, I've been talking to people that haven't been to church in a long time, and they go, well, I think it's comfortable that you stay in your 90s at home and watch it online and all that. So let me tell you, they're trying to destroy this country with everything, churches, jobs. You name it. This is an agenda in housing and everything. It's going to collapse. I know it's going to collapse, but the housing, real estate, but it's crazy. But anyway.
Okay.
But we'll be in touch, and I'll continue listening to you, okay? God bless.
Sounds good. God bless you, too. We got to, of course, Josie does the South of the Border report by now. Josie does the South of the Border report on Tuesdays at 7:40 give or take. All right, so let me get this out, and then I'm going to play something for you. And this is from The Defender, which is Robert Francis Kennedy Jr.'s organization, Children's Health Defense. And this is their newspaper, their news, you know, outlet. And again, I can't post any of this stuff on Facebook. So you just have to look, you know, where I tell you where it is and look it up yourself. But we'll see what Trump's site has. Anyway, so this is from yesterday. And the title is Dad, you know, says, my son's school made him get a COVID vaccine. Now he has a heart condition. Okay. And this is one of the big things. Young men, particularly men, but young folks are getting myocarditis or myocardia. It's a swelling of the heart. I'll find the exact word. Anyway, article says, this is by Megan Redshaw from yesterday. A 17-year-old student who recovered from COVID but was required to get the vaccine in order to attend school and play soccer developed a heart condition soon after getting the Pfizer vaccine. Okay. And so apparently this was, his father was on Fox and Friends, I guess, yesterday. The article says the teen already had COVID and recovered, but was required to get the vaccine for soccer. The teen's father, Fabio Berlinghieri, must be Italian, Fabio Berlinghieri. I love Italian names. All right. Said his son was vaccinated on June 15th. And about a week later started complaining that his heart was hurting every time he had a heartbeat. Wow. At first, Berlinghieri thought his son had pulled a muscle playing sports, but when the symptoms persisted, he took him to a walk-in clinic. Doctors gave him an EKG, that's an electrocardiograph, I believe, and found nothing wrong, but he recommended he see a cardiologist the next day. The cardiologist did a sonogram, which again turned up nothing, then ran some blood work. Berlinghieri said they were told it would be 2 or 3 days before they got results from the blood work, and when they did, it was bad news. Wow. This is a quote, they called and said, your son has to get to the emergency room today. He says, I said, today is his prom. Can he go later? They said, no, he has to go now. His son's troponin levels were off the charts, Berlinghieri explained, adding that his son was hospitalized for a couple of days. Berlinghieri's son missed his prom and now can't do all the things he loves to do, including playing soccer in the fall and surfing. The last cardiologist check-in showed that his EKG was a little off. Okay, so what happened is the article says, quote, is what happened, I guess, is the oxygen doesn't get into those areas, Berlinghieri said. So it has to heal. So he has to be very careful that he doesn't do anything strenuous so his heart rate doesn't increase and put him in danger of a heart attack. Okay, I mean, your heart rate increases like every time you exercise, and that's the whole point. So this is scary. A 17-year-old who plays soccer, an athlete, has to worry about a heart attack from doing anything strenuous with his heart. That's disgusting. Anyway, Fox News medical contributor Dr. Nicole Sapphire, who appeared in the interview with Berlinghieri, said the way the New York Times and the CDC are presenting the data regarding the adverse effects of vaccines in adolescents is irresponsible. She said they cherry pick the way that they present the data. It's an all or nothing approach. They say either adolescents are fully vaccinated or every single one of them is going to get COVID-19. That's the way they're balancing it right now. Okay. Sapphire said more weight should be given to potential adverse effects like myocarditis. Okay, that's the word. And other heart inflammation issues when deciding who should be vaccinated. She also encouraged the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to look closer at vaccines before recommending a universal policy. Yeah. Didn't we just go over that? That, you know, people, young folks are virtually immune. People that are, you know, have already had it are immune. This is nuts. All right. Let me play something from Santa Rosa Volunteers, maybe a couple more things, depending on my mood. Anybody wants to join me? We've got about 27. We'll have about 20 or so minutes left when I get back. And what if I should play the – no, that would take too long. Let me just play the anti-federalist one that I created for this week, and I'll be right back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Newton's third law of motion says that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Therefore, it should come as no surprise to find an anti-federalist paper for every federalist paper. Whereas the federalists were doing their best to rally support to ratify the Constitution among the states, the anti-federalists were doing their best to stop its ratification. I think in my youth, I would have been a federalist, but now, seeing what has happened to what was the Constitution, I'm definitely in the anti-federalist camp. Last week, I started with Federalist Number 1, so let's hear the counterarguments in Anti-Federalist Number 1. It's so good, I will have to read the whole thing on the show sometime. But for now, here are the best quotes. In this introduction, the anti-crowd didn't believe for a second that the federal government would be limited by the Constitution, that good and just people would be elected to high office, that they would honor their oaths to support and defend the Constitution, that laws would be passed to support the general welfare, but that a rich and powerful elite would eventually subvert the Constitution for their own means. I think, as of right now, the anti-federalists were proven right. The title of Anti-Federalist Number 1 says it all. General Introduction, a dangerous plan of benefit only to the aristocratic combination. Here are some quotes. The people are the grand inquest who have a right to judge of its merits. The hideous demon of aristocracy has hitherto had so much influence as to bar the channels of investigation, preclude the people from inquiry, and extinguish every spark of liberal information of its qualities. Kind of sounds like we the people are getting left out of the process. The author, and we aren't really sure who the author is, says this of the Federalists, and those would be Mason, Hamilton, and John Jay, first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He said, "Those furious zealots who are for cramming it down the throats of the people without allowing them either time or opportunity to scan or weigh it in the balance of their understandings bear the same marks in their features as those who have been long wishing to erect an aristocracy in this Commonwealth of Massachusetts." Sounds like little has changed today with a fraud in the White House, several bills in the trillions of dollars that no one in Congress has read, and illegal mandates, all in the name of COVID safety. "They brand with infamy every man who is not as determined and zealous in its favor as themselves." Sounds like early cancel culture. "I had rather be a free citizen of the small Republic of Massachusetts than an oppressed subject of the great American Empire." It's interesting to contemplate where we would be without a federal government, and the states were self-governing nations. Oh, sure, there would be problems. But would those problems be greater than the tyranny that is coming down from the now national, not federal government? So, who exactly is the aristocratic combination? The usual suspects. Anti-Federalist 1 says, "These consist generally of the noble order of Cincinnatus, holders of public securities, men of great wealth and expectations of public office, bankers and lawyers. These, with their train of dependents, form the aristocratic combination." Not sure what Cincinnatus are exactly, and the web was no help, but I will find out. And to close out this report, it appears Anti-Federalist 1 had it right on about lawyers when it said, "The lawyers in particular keep up an incessant declamation for its adoption. Like greedy gudgeons, they long to satiate their voracious stomachs with the golden bait. The numerous tribunals to be erected by the new plan of consolidated empire will find employment for 10 times their present numbers. These are the loaves and fishes for which they hunger." And here we are. And Anti-Federalist 1 was right. A source for this report is selfeducatedamerican.com. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. Thank you.
Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
Yeah, so I figure I might as well keep going with our vaccine theme today, just because there's so much to cover on it. And we've been through, you know, the knock on the door. You know, it's never a good thing when the government knocks on your door. It just isn't. So that has me a lot of, you know, very suspicious. And I'm contemplating, you know, how to handle that, because we're going to be a targeted area because we're Republicans and Christian and, you know, conservative and independent and libertarian, all those kind of things that the deep state hates, because, you know, we think for ourselves and, you know, we think that we don't need them, as opposed to the dependent populations that think they do need them. So I just be curious. I can't wait until the racist aspect gets into the vaccine, that what we have to do more in communities of color, because, you know, just because of the victimization that's going on there, more people of color are getting COVID. I don't know if that's true or not. I'd be interested to find out. It's one of those curiosities that I have. All right, so the last of my vaccine articles, and of course there's other stuff we can cover. I got, you know, 3 hours of material down here on the computer. But I find the military aspect of this very interesting. So the Military Times has an article in their Pentagon and Congress section, military weighing mandatory COVID-19 vaccine after full FDA approval. Well, that usually takes 10 to 15 years. So when exactly do they figure on mandating this, given the fact that full FDA approval is a long-term process with multiple studies and all kinds of things? You know, of course, by the time they get around to approving it, you know, COVID will have long gone. In fact, I think COVID's already long gone. They're just pushing the vaccines as much as they can under false pretense, false premise, false everything, because, you know, I mean, do you see in the course of your daily life, I mean, what's going on out there? Do you hear about more people having problems with COVID or having problems with the vaccine? I hear about more people having problems with the vaccine. COVID, I think, is gone. I think it was gone, you know, a year ago. I think everything after that is just lies and propaganda, you know, just based on the evidence. And again, you know, there are three groups in this country: those that didn't get it when exposed, those who did get it when exposed and developed immunity to it, and those that you know, got exposed, got it, and could have been cured with hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and things like that. So, and none of those three groups needs a vaccine. So the population that couldn't be cured, you know, didn't, you know, get it and didn't get it and get over it, it's got to be very small. Anyway, I find this fascinating. You look at the picture here and you've got military folks. You know, this is military weighing mandatory COVID-19 vaccine, right, after full FDA approval. They're all wearing safety glasses. one guy has safety glasses. They're all wearing masks, you know, which presumably prevent you getting COVID anyway, which we know is nonsense. And this guy is wearing a mask while he's getting a vaccine shot. That's fascinating. So, you know, either masks work or they don't work. Apparently they don't work, because even when you're getting a vaccine shot, you know, everybody's wearing a mask. It's fascinating here. Anyway, the article says, this is by, let me get the author here. It's a rather unfortunate name. Davis Winky. Do you think you should change your name? Oh, is it Winkle or Winky? Hang on, let me take a closer look. Nope. Sorry. I was at the first time. Oh, put the glasses on. Putting glasses on under a headset is a challenge. All right. David Winky. There you go. Not trying to make fun of your name. I'm sorry. It's just I better start over again. All right. So when was this? Let me see if I can find a date for you. 8 hours ago. So this is a recent article. Military Times. Defense Department senior leaders have had, quote, preliminary discussions about making the COVID-19 vaccine mandatory for all U.S. troops once the vaccines receive full approval. I don't think anything gets partial approval, okay? It's full or nothing. All right. Full approval. It's like fully vaccinated. You're the vaccinated or you're not. Because there's no such thing as fully vaccinated. All right. Full approval from the Food and Drug Administration. Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby said during a Tuesday afternoon press briefing. Does anybody remember Gulf War syndrome? Does anybody remember the mandatory anthrax shots for the war, you know, to because there are weapons of mass destruction? Well, there weren't weapons of mass destruction, there wasn't anthrax, as far as I know, and a lot of people got Gulf War syndrome, which is a whole series of things, very similar to adverse reactions from COVID vaccines. What a coincidence, okay? So why is the military, you know, trying to do this again? I mean, didn't you guys learn the first time? If you mandate vaccines, you're mandating diseases that people don't want. You know, in fact, why young military is made up of young people. Young people are the most resistant to this. You know, where's the testing? See, it all comes down to the same thing. Nobody ever tests. No one tests for immunity. No one tests for, exposure and never got it. You know, so those are the two most successful groups, those that didn't get it when exposed and those who did get it when exposed and got over it, both of which really good immunity. So, and both of which don't need vaccines. And young people would be in that group, would be in one of those two groups. I'm going to find out how many there are. I'm going to ask my doctor friends. All right. Kirby, spokesperson, was adamant that vaccine remains voluntary for now. Quote, right now it's being used under emergency use authorization, which makes it a voluntary vaccine. Well, then how come workplaces are requiring it? You know, so the military is voluntary because it's under emergency use authorization, you know, but at work they're mandating it. That's impossible. You know, you can't have it both ways. So if it's voluntary for the military, why would it be mandatory for people on their job? Unless the jobs are totally screwed up. Anyway, back to the quote. Should the FDA approve it, then I am certain the Pentagon leadership will take a look at what our options are going forward, including the potential option of making it mandatory. Except I forgot the word it. Or just an option of making mandatory. I'll correct your language. I'll correct your article, guys, as I go. All right. Then said, but when a reporter asked him about the Army ordering its commands to prepare for the vaccine to become mandatory in September, Kirby added that the military is already considering its, quote, logical next steps if and when FDA approval comes in. Well, it's impossible for the FDA to approve this without massive clinical trials over years, which means the FDA cannot approve it in less than 10 years. Which means if they are approving it in less than 10 years, something happened. Something really bad happened. And they don't actually go through the approval process anymore. They just rubber stamp it. That's bad. Pentagon spokesman again said, we are a planning organization. I don't think that should surprise anybody that we're trying to think about what the implications would be and how we'd react to full FDA approval. Well, again, that's 10 years away. What are you worried about? I mean, I don't mind you planning 10 years in advance. That's fine, but don't get all excited now. Although Kirby, back to the article, said there is no decision as of yet. In other words, now communications to the force suggest that more than thinking is underway. Oh yeah, Army Times first reported the Army's planning directive, which came via an executive order sent to the force by the Department of the Army headquarters. Okay. Who runs that? And the Navy also recently told sailors to expect a mandatory vaccination program despite having the highest voluntary vaccine acceptance rate so far. Well, voluntary, you know, unless it's 100%, they're not going to be satisfied. You know how this works. Everybody has to get it. Vaccinate the kids. Kids are the least vulnerable. Vaccinate them anyway. Okay, fine. Sell more vaccines. All roads lead back to vaccines. No cures. No immunity. Screw that. Just go right for the vaccine. Kirby said nearly 69% of the force has received at least one dose of the vaccine. Not sure which manufacturer, but demand for the shot is starting to dry up across the military and the broader American public. Oh, yeah, no kidding. The Navy currently leads the way among the service branches in COVID-19 vaccinations, with 77% of active duty sailors receiving at least one dose. And that's according to data shared by Army Lieutenant. Well, what's the Army doing with Navy data? Anyway, Army Lieutenant General Ronald Place, Director of the Defense Health Agency, the DHA, the duh. Sorry, I couldn't resist. All right. Well, think about that for a second. If you're on a Navy ship, all right, and the captain says, y'all need to get the vaccine to, preserve the lives of your fellow sailors. Who's not going to get it? What kid's not going to get it thinking, I'm not going to be responsible for killing my fellow sailors. We're here to save each other. All right. And that's a good thing. But the thing is, how about the propaganda? If anybody's been on a Navy ship, I mean, do they make an announcement like that? To save your fellow sailors, we're asking everybody to get the vaccine. We're asking strongly. We're asking in the strongest possible terms. We're asking, we're not mandating, but we're asking really strenuously that you consider seriously getting the vaccine to preserve everybody else on board. I mean, where do you go from that? I mean, this is where it gets crazy. All right. The Army is second with 70%, followed by 61% for the Air Force, 58% for the Marines. Good for the Marines. So there is slightly over half of the Marines, you know, had this. The rest of the Marines are, you know, if the Marines I know would say, look, we're too strong for this virus. We don't need the vaccine. I love the Marines. Kirby encouraged troops hesitant about the vaccine to opt in. They're safe. They're effective. Yeah, right. And it's really the best incentive to protect you, your families, and your teammates. So there you go. Yeah, that's what they say. There you go. You got to protect everybody else. Got to protect your family. See, here's the other thing, too. Vaccines are individual. All right? They're a completely individual thing. Vaccines protect the person that received the vaccine. Okay? You know, unless they're shedding the virus to other people or shedding the vaccine or like the polio was a live virus. They're shedding the virus to everybody. So they vaccinated one person. They vaccinated the whole family or they exposed the whole family to polio. You know, and of course, hopefully your immune system dealt with it. Otherwise, you got polio, you know. But, you know, doing this to – you don't take a vaccine to protect other people. That's nonsense. Because how can you? Vaccine protects you, all right? Now, if you – you know, whether somebody else gets it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them because it's their immune system. So this idea of protecting other people is insane because a virus only affects you individually. It doesn't affect you because somebody else had it, you know. Or because someone else either did or didn't have a vaccine. That's ridiculous. That makes no sense. Okay. So now someone else can share the virus with you. They can expose you to the virus. That's generally how it works. But whether you get the virus in sufficient number to make you sick, that's on you. That's your immune system. All right. So whether you have a vaccination or not, you know, I mean, that's your choice. But whether you do or not, it's not going to affect other people. That's just, you know, and this idea that herd immunity comes from everybody being vaccinated is crazy. All right. So a little bit of time here. Where shall we go here? Let's go to the Fox article. You have only got about 9 minutes left. And so as we wind down here, you want to get a comment in, feel free. I still got time. Happy to chat with anybody. All right. I've been doing most of the talking today. That's funny. Wednesdays they do most of the talking. Thursdays they get to shut up. Works out well. Fox News. Why some vaccinated people are dying of COVID-19. Vaccines aren't 100% effective. So some people will be vulnerable to the virus even after receiving two shots. They might even be more vulnerable getting all that virus in their body or messenger RNA. Anyway, Jason Douglas, Stephen Fidler, Wall Street Journal, wrote this as well as Fox News. All right. They said, as the Delta variant of the coronavirus surges through the UK, almost half of the country's recent COVID-19 deaths are of people who have been vaccinated. But doctors and scientists aren't sounding the alarm about the apparently high proportion of deaths among the vaccinated population. Wait a minute. Almost half the country's recent COVID deaths are from people who've been vaccinated? Half? And that doesn't cause an alarm? You know, so the vaccines have a 50% chance of killing you? And that's not a problem? What's wrong with these people? This is disgusting. On the contrary, says the article, they say the figures so far offer reassurance that vaccines offer substantial protection against the variant, particularly after two doses. Delta, first identified in India, has since spread to at least 85 countries, including the U.S., where it is now estimated to be the most common variant. So let me get this straight, okay? All right, so this Delta variant, this slight, you know, modification, because they're all the same. You know, one doctor, you know, said, look, the variants are so close to the original. They're only slight variations, all right, are everywhere. Well, 85 countries. The Epoch Times article says it's all over in every state in the United States, you know, and so they don't have a Delta variant vaccine. Okay. You know, I'm sure they want one, but so this variant is out there and yet we don't have I don't see the hospital rooms overflowing. I don't see the emergency rooms overflowing. I don't hear ambulances racing down the street. I don't hear anything that would indicate a panic pandemic. I don't see any news reports of any of this stuff happening. In fact, things look pretty much business as usual. And yet half the people are dying from the, half the people that died were vaccinated. So if they hadn't been vaccinated, would they still be alive? That's an interesting question. They don't answer that. Back to the article. The UK is a testing ground for how vaccines are coping. What do you mean how vaccines are coping? Why do vaccines have to cope? Don't people have to cope? Delta, they say, is racing through the country with 146,000 identified cases in the past week. Is that the PCR test that doesn't work? 72% up from the week before. The country is also a world leader in identifying through testing and genetic sequencing. That's how you make an RNA vaccine, which versions of the virus are prevalent. By mid-June, 97% of the cases were Delta infections, and Delta is spreading among a population that is among the most highly vaccinated in the world. Wait a minute. Delta is spreading among a population that is among the most highly vaccinated in the world. 85% of adults have had at least one vaccine shot, and 63% have had two. But wait a minute. If these vaccines work, why is Delta spreading among a population that is the most highly vaccinated in the world? That makes no sense. Here's something else, too. 85% of adults have had at least one vaccine, and 63% have had two. So what happened to the what happened to the 22% that didn't want the second one? Did they get sick from the first one? They're not saying. So these stories are more fascinating for what they don't tell you. Okay, that's my job to point those little things out. So what happens to the 22%? It's always fewer people taking the second shot than the first one. You know, and why would you need two anyway? Why can't you make the first one strong enough? You're right. Oh, Lambda variant raises concern due to unusual mutations. All right, I'll get to that one in a minute. We got 5 minutes left. The spread of Delta has led the UK government to postpone by a month the ending of COVID restrictions until July 19th. See, this is my contention, all right? This Delta variation is going to be Dr. Fascist's excuse to try and put you back in lockdown and the mask mandate. So just let's wait and see. All right, who wants to take a bet? Is it going to be Michigan under Whitmer? Is it going to be New York under Cuomo or California under Newsom? You know, which state's going to bring back masks and lockdowns first for the Delta variant? That Australia Sky News says has a 0.008 chance of killing you, 0.008, 0.008%. That's insanely small. You know, that's not even a typical flu virus. So the Delta variant is about half as powerful as the flu virus, all right? And most of you are exposed to the flu virus every year. But how many millions of people don't get a flu shot and don't get the flu yet are exposed to the flu virus? Because our natural immunity works, all right? So I hate to keep repeating myself, but they keep throwing this stuff at me and I got to keep, you know, knocking it out of the park. So that's what happens. All right. So. Ministers, oh yes, here we go. The spread of Delta has led the UK government to postpone, you know, the ending of lockdowns. Excuse me, idiots. But ministers are increasingly confident that the unlocking will take place as planned because vaccinations have broken the lockstep between new cases, later hospitalizations, and deaths. Oh, wait a minute. They just said earlier that half the people who died had the vaccination. You know, that's amazingly unsuccessful vaccination if half the people who died of the disease had the vaccination. I'm sorry, this is not really good news. Data from Public Health England shows that there were 117 deaths from among 92,000 Delta cases logged through June 21st. We can't believe the cases. You know, I've got a report how they boost the case numbers. All right, they make them up. They use a faulty test, which gives faulty results, which gives you like a 90% false positive. Well, of course cases are up. If you're using a flawed test and you're amplifying it 40 times, everybody has COVID in them. I mean, everybody in the world probably has COVID. You know, virus in them. All right. So the question is, do you get sick from it or does your immune system control it? Well, for most people, your immune system controls it. If it doesn't control it, you can cure it. You know, there's still a need for a vaccine. There never was a need for a vaccine because we have both the cure and the immunity booster. So you're either going to not get it because your immune system is so good it doesn't, you know, it won't get it, or you will get it, you'll get over it, and your immune system is so good you won't get it again, and you might even know you had it, you know, or if you do get it, you don't have a good immune system, we got a cure. Either way, there's still no need for a vaccine here. And yet, that's the one thing they keep talking about. Data from Public Health England shows that there were 117 deaths among 92,000 Delta cases logged through June 21st. 50 of those, 46%, have received two shots. There you go, man. 50 to 117, that's almost half. But rather than suggest Delta is displaying a worrying ability to evade the vaccine and cause severe illness, scientists say those figures support the shot's effectiveness, the three main reasons why. And they go into, you know, vaccine distribution and things like that. I'm not going to read all that. We only got a couple minutes left. How to sum up, you know, all this stuff. I got two articles I'm going to keep, both of which are from early on from State of the Nation, one which says huge COVID case counting deception at the CDC. I'll explain to you how they're screwing up the results. And the other one is ultimate proof COVID-19 was planned to usher in the new world order. All right, so I'm going to save those two articles because they're both very good. It's fascinating that most of the great articles, the accurate ones, were written in the first 4 months of COVID. So it would be, you know, let's say it starts in February. So February, March, April, May, June, July, and August. February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Yeah, July. So let's say the first 6 or 7 months. So through August of 2020 is when the real news came out. After that, it's all propaganda. Because as of July 4th, the CDC changed how they measured the numbers anyway. Okay, so you can't believe anything after July 4th, when the virus was trending to zero. All right, so that's kind of interesting. And so you say, "Whoop! There's my 90-second warning." And so you take all this in, and you think to yourself, "Nobody needs vaccines, except because the disease is either prevented or cured by other means." Yet all they're pushing is vaccines, which should make you highly suspicious. There's money in it, and there's a bunch of junk they want to put in your system. So it is a very strange phenomenon, a very strange place we live in. And the big concern I have is that as the government runs out of people who want to do this voluntarily, they start ratcheting up the not quite so voluntary, the coercion, and then the mandates. So we're sort of somewhere between voluntary and coercion, right? They're going to send people to knock on your door and have a happy face and say, "Hi, I'd like to give you information on the vaccine." And then they're going to send people to knock on your door and say, "I have the vaccine right here. Our records show that you haven't taken it." And then they show up with the teams at your door and say, "If you resist, this time you're going to be arrested because you're presenting a public health menace. If you don't have the vaccine, then you're dangerous to the public." It's a bunch of crap, but that's what they might say. Who knows what they're going to say? So resist now, or forever lose yourself. I mean, it's just that simple. Resist now or lose your identity, lose yourself, lose the country. There's nowhere else to really go with this. Anyway, this has been a fascinating day. I've talked way too much, but feel free to join me on Wednesdays at 215-383-3832. As always, you can get our show page at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Please feel free to share that. That is all our live shows and our podcasts. You can support us at patreon.com/actionradio. And you can check out all the laws we're writing at www.writeyourlaws.com. That's WriteYourLaws. I'm talking too fast again. YourLaws. WriteYourLaws.com. Again, back tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock Central Time. And we shall continue with our regular Thursday crowd and see what happens from there.